Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to cover the top 10 rules for car buying. The top 10 rules everyone should know and follow when buying a car. And I've talked a lot about car buying on my channel. I do a lot of Lemon Law, of course, which is brand new cars. I talk a lot about used cars and as-is cars and things of that nature. So these are the 10 rules that if everyone followed, pretty much ripoffs would disappear. Now, not everyone's going to follow my advice. And some of my stuff, I'll have to explain a tiny little bit to understand exactly what I'm getting at. But this is all stuff, like I said, trust me, from 28 years of practicing law in this field, I've seen all the ripoffs. These 10 rules would resolve almost all of them. And these are not necessarily in order. So number one, don't buy a car sight unseen. I've talked to too many people who bought cars off the internet, off of eBay or other different websites, and the car was delivered to them, or they went and got the car after committing to buy it. Car had problems. I've had somebody get shipped a different car. The car in the photographs wasn't damaged. The car they got shipped was damaged. If you are inclined to buy a car from a faraway place, do what you can to go see it yourself. Get it seen by somebody you trust, or even pay an inspection fee to somebody to have them inspect it. But buying a car sight unseen simply as a rule is something you should avoid doing unless you take all the steps necessary to protect yourself. And those steps might be so expensive that it's not worth it unless it's an extremely unusual or unique car. Okay? Number two, remember that used cars in most states sold by car dealers are sold as is, and used cars sold by individuals are also sold as is. So remember that most used cars sold in America are sold as is. And know what that means. As is means the car could blow up tomorrow. Probably nothing you can do about it. There's no implied warranty merchantability. The car is yours the second you buy it. So you buy a car from a dealership and it's used and it's sold to you as is, which is allowed in most states. That car could literally disintegrate, explode, grenade, use any verb you want there. The moment you drive off the lot and whatever happens, it's on you. Okay, so remember that most used cars are sold as is and understand what as is means. So the salesman says, hey, it's a great car. If you have any problems, let us know. We'll take care of you. Hey, we're always here for you. None of that means anything. You're buying a used car as is. Understand what that means. And there's nothing wrong with buying a used car and understanding that it's as is, so long as you take that into account in the price. So put some money aside just in case something goes wrong. I've bought used cars. I bought them as is. I simply knew that I was doing that because I'm an attorney. I know what that means. Number three, remember that certified pre-owned equals used. Okay? I get phone calls almost every day, a few a week, or emails from people who say, Steve, I bought a CPO car, blah, 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 blah. And I say, oh, you bought a used car. And they say, no, it's CPO, certified pre-owned. Certified pre-owned is a euphemism that means used. I understand that CPO cars are often sold with slightly longer warranties or with other perks that come with them, but they are, in fact, used cars, okay? And by the way, going back to number two, since it's a used car, it's being sold to you as is. So you say, but Steve, it's CPO, it's got a warranty on it. Well, it's usually got an extended manufacturer's warranty on it, but from the dealer who's selling it to you, they're selling it to you as is. But that's just a little nuance I'm pointing out just to be funny here. But the point is that when you buy a CPO car, it is not new, it is used. So do not think I should pay a new car price for a CPO. No, you should pay a used car price for a CPO because you're buying a used car with a slightly better warranty, okay? But the key here is CPO equals used. I'm not saying don't buy a CPO car. I'm saying understand what you're buying when you buy a CPO car because a CPO car is in fact used. So when you call my office and say, Steve, I have a problem with the car, don't say it's a CPO car. Say, Steve, I have a problem with a used car. Bought a CPO, but it's used. Number four, don't co-sign a loan for someone else unless you're willing to pay the loan off yourself. I have too many people who tell me, a friend of mine needed a car and he couldn't afford it, so I co-signed for him. Or a relative of mine needed a car, I co-signed for it. Now, here's the deal. You have to understand that when you co-sign for something and the primary borrower has the car, they've got the car and you've got all the liability. Now you say, Steve, they co-signed it. I co-signed. We both co-signed. So they're liable too, right? The bank gets a co-signer who's got better credit than the buyer because they couldn't finance this person on their own. They know this person's a bad risk. That's why they got you. So when they come after somebody, they can come after you first and they will. And I have people tell me all the time, they go, Steve, that's not fair. Read the loan documents you sign when you co-sign. It says right on it, we have the right to come after you first, regardless of what the other person does. So I've had people tell me, they go, Steve, the other person's driving the car and the bank's chasing me. What do I do? I say, well, pay the bank. That's what you agreed to do when you co-signed the loan. So if you have somebody near and dear to you in your life that you really feel needs your co-signature and you're willing to take this risk, it could be your child, it could be your spouse, it could be your significant other. There's nothing wrong with co-signing a loan for somebody else as long as you understand going in that they could come chasing you when the other person is not being chased. And that will seem really funny to you later, but it might not seem that strange right now because you think, hey, I like this person. They're going to pay the loan, right? So many relationships on paper start out with such promise. Number 5, get used cars inspected. Unless you are a mechanic yourself or mechanically inclined yourself, I would urge you to take a used car and get it inspected. And that simply could be find somebody who's mechanically inclined and bring them with you when you look at the car. Or if you know somebody nearby who's a mechanic, say, hey, can I bring this over to my mechanic and have them take a look at it? And what you're paying for is a peace of mind. And I've had people say, Steve, you know, I flip a mechanic a couple $100 and he says, hey, the car is fine. I'm out a couple $100. Yeah, but you just got the peace of mind of knowing, hey, a mechanic looked at it. But I've known people who've taken a car to a mechanic and said, don't buy this car. It's got boom, 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 and they spotted something. One of the most interesting things is that if you take it to a mechanic at a shop and they have a lift, they can put the car up on a lift. You can walk underneath it yourself. And now, I know people who bought cars, they walked around it, they looked at it. They didn't walk underneath the car because they couldn't. Okay, now I've told the story before. My last used car I bought, I laid down on my back like an animal and climbed underneath the car to take a look at it. But that's only because there wasn't a lift handy. And I feel that I was qualified to do that. And I looked underneath the car and I was looking for leaks and other things. But the point is that you have to inspect the car thoroughly. And usually that means you have to have some mechanical knowledge. So get a mechanic if you can. If not, get someone mechanically inclined if you can. But I would never trust my own eyes unless I was a mechanic. So that means bring somebody with you. Okay? Bring somebody with you. And just a second set of eyes. You know, someone who's talking to you might be distracting you. Second person can walk around the car and spot something else. So get a used car inspected. That's number 5. Number 6, test drive any car you buy, new or used. I've had people tell me they walked into a car dealership, they test drove a car, and they said, I like this one, but I want it in that color. Okay? Salesman goes, let's write it up. They write it up. They get in the car. They're driving home. The car is doing this down the road. Okay? It's pulling to one side. It's doing something goofy. They didn't test drive it. They go, why should I test drive? It's brand new. Because if you don't test drive, you might discover later that it goes down the road like this. Okay? You would have found that out, right? All you had to do is get in and drive around the block. But I would encourage you to test drive a car, whether you're buying it new or used, and test drive it the way you drive your normal car. So get in it, drive it, not just around the block, just around the parking lot. But if you can, get it up to highway speeds. I like to get it on flat ground and see if the wheel pulls. See if you can let go of the wheel. I'm not sure I recommend that to everybody, but that's one of the greatest ways to find out if a car's got a pulling condition. I've had people argue with me about that and say, well, Steve, that doesn't diagnose everything. No, it doesn't diagnose everything, but it'll find some pretty obvious stuff if there's a problem there. But test drive any car you buy. And if you don't trust your own skills, bring somebody with you and have them test drive it. I know people who say, Steve, I know nothing about cars. I'm not even sure if a car is good or not when I'm in it. Bring somebody who is, and I'll let you know. This is the life I live. I have people who say, Steve, you're always preaching about this stuff. Will you go with me in car shop? Yes, I will. Because I gotta live it if I preach it, right? So get a car inspected and test drive any car you buy. Get a title history of any car that you're shopping for yourself. This is number 7. Get your own title history. So I know people go to a car dealership, they're looking at a car, the guy hands them a Carfax. They look at it, the Carfax looks good. They get the car, boom, you're down the road, they discover something wrong, and it wasn't in the Carfax. They pull a Carfax, and now it's there. How did that happen? I've had people tell me stories about people who've gone into the computer screen while it's still on the screen and played with something to make it print differently. I've had people tell me that they actually were handed a Carfax that they realized was backdated somehow, like it was an older Carfax. There's several companies out there selling this stuff. It's not that expensive. I would urge you to get a title history of your own on a car. All you got to do is get the VIN. And once you have the vehicle identification number, you can run that yourself. It'll cost you a couple bucks, but you'll know that you got it yourself. When someone else hands you the piece of paper, you don't know where it came from. I know this is a long shot, but I've heard of it often enough to where it made my list at number 7. Number 8, check for technical service bulletins and recalls in any used car you are looking at. This is a free service you can get off of NHTSA, NHTSA.gov, NHTSA. The NHTSA website, the government website, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, tracks recalls and technical service bulletins for all vehicles that are in their database. So what you can do is take your VIN number and type it in, and if in fact your vehicle's got any outstanding recalls, it'll pop up. And if it has any technical service bulletins, those will also pop up too. And the technical service bulletins are simply an indication that there may be a widespread problem on that car, that make and model and year. And then you can have a better understanding of what to look for when test driving it. So if you foolishly were living in a cave for the last 10 years and didn't know about the dual clutch problems with the Fords, for instance, and you ran the VIN of one of those vehicles through the NHTSA website, it's going to kick back a whole ton of TSBs in the transmission. So when you get in a car to test drive it, you go, oh, I need to pay attention to how this thing shifts. So technical service bulletins will tip you off that there might be something to look at when test driving the car that you're looking at. It's a used car. But also recalls, because you'll find recalls are safety related. Recalls are free. You might discover the car you're test driving has an open recall the previous owner didn't get done. That means two things. One, the car has an unsafe condition and hasn't been fixed. And number two, the previous owner didn't care about the car. So if you buy a car that has recalls that were performed, you go, oh, at least the guy got the recalls done. I can tell you right now that I bought a used car previously, did this, and found that, yes, there was a recall in the car, and it was performed. So the guy who had the car before me got the notice, took it in, got it fixed. That's a small thing, but it's better than finding out that there's an open recall, which you could probably get it in and get the recall done. But it makes you wonder about somebody who gets a notice in the mail and says, hey, look, your car is defective. It's unsafe. We'll fix it for free. And they chose not to fix it. So it kind of makes you wonder. Number 9, ignore everything a car salesman tells you. Everything. So if you're at a dealership lot and the car salesman is talking, you can ignore 99.9% of it. I say 99.9% of it because they might say something to you like, oh, by the way, we offer an extended service contract if you want it. Or, you know, if you buy it, we'll give you something. I mean, those kinds of things. Yeah, listen to those. But when they tell you stuff like, oh, this car runs well, they don't know. They don't know. A lot of dealerships handle so many cars. They buy them at auction, wash them, wax them, and sell them. They don't know which cars run good. They don't know anything about how these cars run. The guys and the gals are just saying what they need to say. It's salesman's patter. It's puffery. Puffery is a term of art legally, and it literally means the stuff a salesman says that sounds good but is not actionable under the law, meaning that it can be false. So the guy can say, this car runs well. You buy it, go to start it, it doesn't start. If you bought it as is, that car is yours. Get it off their lot. And number 10, read the sales agreement, the purchase agreement. Read it before you sign it. There's a lot of stuff on there, including the price of the car. Look at the numbers, make sure the numbers make sense. You can find all kinds of things that a dealership's going to add in, such as dealer fees, dock fees, double secret probationary fees, taxes, license, dock fees, dealer fees. You know, there's going to be numbers in there that just make the bottom number get bigger and bigger, okay? And no matter what you negotiated up here, it's going to get bigger and bigger down here. Read those numbers carefully and ask, what's this? What's this? What's this? And some of those numbers are negotiable. Dealer fees, that's literally something they just add in to say, we want more money. So he sold the car for $10,000, but with a $3,000 dealer fee, it's $13,000. Making stuff up here, why not? We can, until you catch us and tell us not to. But also, along with the numbers in the purchase agreement, pay very, very close attention to things such as whether or not there's anything buried in the fine print, like an arbitration agreement that might be there. Very well could be. And also other things in the fine print. It's not uncommon that the documents will also say you're buying the vehicle as is, no warranties, blah, blah, blah. That's also often hidden in the purchase agreement. You're probably buying it as is anyway, but I'm saying that's one of the places you'll see that. And it's not uncommon that purchase agreements are two-sided, and there's often a lot of information on the back, and a lot of times on the front it will actually say, by the way, signing here indicates that you acknowledge that you've read the backside of the document. And I've had people tell me that they didn't even see that, and of course that means that they agreed to whatever's back here. Often it's nothing crazy, but I do know a lot of dealerships hide their arbitration agreements on the backside, so that can be back there too. So those are my top 10 tips, and I realized earlier on that I actually needed to have an 11th. This is a one that's 11. And the 11th one is never shop alone. And this goes doubly true for women, and I'm not trying to be sexist here. I can just tell you from having spoken to people that women who shop alone are treated differently than women who shop with other people, and they're treated differently than men who shop alone, but men shouldn't shop alone either. Bring somebody with you. People are less inclined to lie to you when you have somebody with you, and they're less inclined to try to pull something over on you when there's a witness. Bring somebody with you. So I urge you, if you are going to go car shopping and you don't have some, find somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a coworker, somebody. Buy them lunch. Just say, I just want you to, you don't have to do anything. Just walk along next to me. Look pretty. Look nice. Whatever it is. Whatever's appropriate for their, I can't say gender, can I? Whatever's appropriate for them. Just tell them, hey, look, just stand there. Just stand there. I want another body next to me. Okay? And get someone to come with you. So here we are. I'll count them down for you and also put the 10 and 11 in the description. Number one, don't buy a car sight unseen. Number two, remember that used cars are almost always sold as is. Know what that means. Number three, understand that CPO equals used. It's not new. A certified pre-owned car is used. Number four, don't co-sign for somebody else unless you understand and are willing to pay off the loan yourself, because that might happen. Number five, get used cars inspected. If you can do it yourself and you're qualified, knock yourself out. But if you're not, get it inspected or bring somebody with you. Number six, test drive any car you buy, even if it's new. Number seven, get a title history of your own. It'll cost you a couple extra bucks, but it's worth it. Number eight, check for technical service bulletins and recalls on a used car through NHTSA, NHTSA.gov. Number nine, ignore everything that the car seller tells you. Ignore everything. What comes out of their mouth is legally meaningless. And number 10, read the sales agreement before you sign it, because once you've signed it, you're presumed to have read it, understood it, and agreed to it. And number 11, never car shop alone. So those 11 rules are the 10 commandments of car shopping. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.